A shopping ban. No buying clothing, electronics, books, furniture, or even takeout coffee for an entire year. Impossible, you say? Well, Kate Flanders actually went out and did it. And then she wrote a very compelling memoir about her experience called The Year of Less. She joins us now from Squamish, British Columbia. Hello there.
Hello.
Kate, I read a lot of personal finance books, like a lot, so I do not say this lightly. Yours is an extraordinary book. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much.
It really is like a different, it's a completely different experience from 99% of the books that I read. When did you decide that this was a memoir and not a traditional, you know, how to, three tips to, dot, dot, dot?
I mean, I think I knew right from the start that it had to be a memoir. And that's also just based on the way that I write my blog. I've never written a lot of how-to kind of posts. And so even though over the years, I've obviously learned a ton about money and I probably could give some advice, I just have always shared my personal experiences with it. And so I always knew that that's what the book had to be.
What was different for you about this being a book versus a blog? I mean, it's personal. Your parents' divorce, your breakups, your drinking, like all of these kinds of things you lay bare here. How did that feel?
It was so much different than writing a blog post. It was actually an interesting thing to realize, even just getting started. Like with a blog post, you sort of present a problem and offer maybe ideas and a solution like within 1500 words. And with the book, you're like not allowed to start fixing it until like word 50,000. It was really just like creatively a very interesting challenge because you can't get to the point. You have to keep telling stories. And so it was really, really different. I think the reason I'm so grateful that I was like just had the chance to write this is because I don't know that I ever would have shared those things on the blog, and certainly not in the detail that I did in the book. And that's truly just because I had more space. Like I had the space to write more.
We talked to a lot of people who have issues around spending, but typically the things they describe are, you know, I buy too many clothes or I bought too big of a house or something. One of the issues that you call out for yourself was breakups. And you lay out in fascinating detail about the spending that followed a particular breakup. What would you say you learned about yourself as you put this to paper?
Oh, my gosh. I think, like right off the bat, something I realized was, okay, like to backtrack it, when I did this experiment, I was already debt-free. But that was kind of the first thing I'd written about on my blog. And so I paid off the debt in 2 years. The other thing I did in those 2 years was I quit drinking. I decided I had a really unhealthy relationship with alcohol and I just needed to not have it in my life. Mm. So something I realized that year, especially with things like the breakup, was that in the past, I would have numbed myself probably with drinking. And because drinking wasn't an option, like I knew I would not drink. It was almost then I realized like the next easiest thing to go to was emotional spending. And so I don't think I had ever identified myself as that before, like an emotional spender. But that year I really realized like by having sort of the restriction of you are not allowed to buy things unless you need it, I really had to start listening to kind of the stories I was telling myself, how I was feeling as a consumer and like in those moments, and had to stop myself. So I definitely realized a lot of my transactions in the past were much more emotional.
What was the hardest element of the shopping ban to follow through on? I mean, some of these things you're allowed to shop for cleaning products, gifts for others, groceries, no electronics, household items, and then a very short list of approved items like one outfit for multiple weddings. As you reflect on that time, what was like, oh, it's fine, didn't really miss it, and what was, oh my God, I can't believe I had to do that?
Okay, so the easiest thing, and this is what I'll say just off the bat, is that it would be different for everybody. Mm. For me, the easiest thing was clothes, because I realized, like, right at the start, I've literally always been someone who wears, like, the same three outfits in a week. And if I'm really honest, I probably wear the same thing most days.
And you work in a field where that's socially acceptable. It's not horrifying.
Totally. And so I just really realized that right off the front, and like shopping for clothes has never been an interest. of mine. So that was super easy. Didn't miss it. Never thought about it. Clothes to me were always like very practical. You have what you need, the end. It was really hard in the beginning, I will say, to change habits. And so it's actually interesting. I did an interview with someone and I was like, one of the hardest things to give up was actually takeout coffee. And they laughed at me. And I'm like, no, you don't get it. Like, it's not that it's takeout coffee.
Yeah.
That is something I did every single day, basically. And I wasn't allowed to.
Mm. It's almost like giving up brushing your teeth or something. That's like motor memory, like muscle memory. You just do it without thinking.
Totally. And so every single day for like, it took a couple months, really, like every single day you're facing that moment of, oh, I want to do this thing and I'm not allowed. And so the hardest part was absolutely changing habits.
I talk a lot. I think a lot. I write a lot about the emotional undercurrent that connects to everyone's very individual relationship to money as a tool and also how we improve our habits. You do as well in a very, very personal way. What have you heard from your readers? Have you found that people are opening up to you in new ways because of the things that you have shared?
Well, I think like one of the coolest things about the book is just that it has brought in a whole bunch of new readers I never would have connected with before. So I'm hearing from a lot of people for the very first time. They had no idea I had ever written a blog or anything, and they just picked up the book and read it. So I think some of the most common things I'm hearing are lines in there about how I used to shop for a more aspirational version of myself, mm-hmm. people realizing that they didn't even realize that's what they were doing, but they completely related to it. Things about the, definitely just the emotional spending. And then also reasons why it was hard to let go of some stuff. Like I also kind of decluttered and got rid of a lot of things. And so people relating to that as well of just, especially the ones around like, oh, I spent money on this at one point. Like I have to keep it. Mm. So there's been a big mix, but I would say that the one I hear over and over is the aspirational or like ideal version of myself, people right. not realizing that they were shopping for that person.
We talk a lot about the fear of missing out in today's culture, exacerbated by the images that we see on social media and things like that. If you're not out there shopping, you know, on top of the latest clothing trends or the newest iPhone, did you experience FOMO or was that so far beyond something that would suck you in at that point?
It's a good question. I don't really remember having it maybe around shopping. I think I had more interesting discussions with friends where I realized like I almost couldn't even partake in their conversations anymore. Mm-hmm. Like if friends started talking about deals they got or something they purchased for their home or whatever, I more went back to that feeling of like I'm the only sober person in the room
right.
and I have nothing to add to this. So I would say more so I did have feelings like I just wasn't or I couldn't be part of some conversations, but there wasn't really anything that I felt like I missed out on.
What would you say the transition has been like as an emotional consumer, a binge consumer to a mindful consumer, a phrase that I lift from your words?
I would say that, like, if we talked about habits, because I said that was the hardest thing for me to change, the biggest one I've realized, and sometimes I hate that I called it a shopping ban because it sounds so restrictive. And when I really think about what I was doing that year, it's that I basically did more like a browsing ban. Like, I had to stop browsing. So browsing meaning literally, like, you walk into a store, you're like, well, I'll just walk around, like, I might find something.
And why did you need to stop browsing? Was it that because those two were inextricably linked for you?
Because browsing almost always ended up in a purchase. Like for me, my thought now is like, if you go out looking for and saying like, I might find something, you're going to find something that you can buy. And the problem with that is that you're talking yourself into needing it rather than actually feeling the need first. And I had never done that before. I had never just like lived without something and then thought like felt that need like, oh, okay, this is really annoying. I should buy this little thing that will make this situation better. I had never actually done that. So now shopping for me is so transactional. I've actually been in moments where it's like, okay, this is something I genuinely need. I will figure out where to get it. I go get it and I'm out. like it's just a transaction. There's nothing emotional about it.
We said that it was more memoir than tips, but you do at the end of the your book have your guide to less. And one of the tips is around lists, writing three lists. Tell us about the essentials list, the non-essentials list, and the approved shopping list.
Okay, so if anyone was going to do something similar to this, then I would say writing the list is just a really helpful exercise to do even before you get started. So for me, essentials were just like the things you use in your regular life. So the things you use on a daily basis, like toothpaste and deodorant, like when you run out of those things, everyone wants you to buy more of it. So like essentials are the things you use all the time. I also had things like just groceries and putting gas in my car. Like all of that stuff was okay. And like you said, I was allowed to buy gifts for others. People ask me a lot of questions around that. And I'm like, if you don't want it to affect other people, buy gifts. Like that's right. Totally fine. For me, it was always about like not wanting to bring more stuff into my own home unless I needed it. So the essentials list, what you use regularly. The non-essentials, the stuff that you're not allowed to buy, unless you're in some kind of situation where like you absolutely have to replace it. So for me, that list was long, like clothes, shoes, accessories, books, magazines, electronics, like you mentioned a bunch of them in the beginning. Mm. And that list is like, unless something came up, and which a couple little things did happen that year. Like I had to replace my one pair of jeans and my cell phone literally died to the point that it would never turn on again.
Right.
So at that point, yes, like go out and make a conscious purchase. And it's not emotional or keeping up with trends or anything. It's like, I physically need this.
Then yeah. You go. I don't have a landline. This isn't a pleasure tool. I need something. I have one last question I want to ask, and that is, what's next for you? I mean, it's such an inspiring tale. It's so compelling to hear where you have been. Where are you headed?
Great question. I mean, like career fund, what's exciting is the book has done really well. And so the option to do another book is there. But personally, like it's been interesting. I've been finding that I'm really fascinated just sort of with the topic of consumption as a whole. Mm. And so not just about like how we're spending our money or the things we're buying, but really looking at the fact that, you know, we as human beings, we just are consumers. We are constantly consuming, whether it is food and drink, to the information we're consuming, the things we're consuming when we look at social media. And really, like, I'm just fascinated with all of it and then looking at how it affects sort of our happiness, our behaviors, our habits, and then how it does affect our spending. So I'm just looking all over the place right now.
Well, congratulations. You've been featured all over God's Green Earth and media outlets too prestigious to mention. Congratulations, and thank you for giving us some of your time.
Thank you so much. This was great, Bruce.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Kate Flanders is the author of The Year of Less, How I Stopped Shopping, Gave Away My Belongings, and Discovered Life is Worth More Than Anything You Can Buy in a Store.